provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, this is number three
for us.
I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio with me. We are distancing. We are, what, 6-7 feet
something
away
like
from
that.
Each other? Even though we're both painfully, wonderfully healthy, I do believe. But we're still being careful. Dr. Umat is not with us today. She has a family event. Our first 2 hours. Talk about a lot of calls and a lot of good information out there. Obviously, everyone is focused on the coronavirus. And all I can say is every word I'm getting is longevity medical clinic patients are just about the happiest people, considering the circumstances. Longevity patients are about as happy as you can get because preventive medicine is really at the very heart of what we do at Longevity Medical Clinic. And if you watch any of the news, you listen to any of the radio, any of the TV, podcasting, or what have you, the doctors are always talking about the immune system, and for good reason. And the fact is that everybody has a different immune system, a unique immune system. So tell me, Jerry, because so many people in America have this fatalistic attitude about their genes, about their health, about everything, that, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. Is there anything we can do? Talk about a loaded question.
Yes.
Is there anything anything people can do to build their immune system?
Yes.
Right. I think it would be appropriate if you expanded
on that.
Because this is the time.
Yes, it is. Okay, several things, and these are things we've been nagging our audience about for years. One thing you want to do is get lean. You know, visceral fat, the fat inside your belly, is pro-inflammatory, but it also alters your immune response. The heavier you are, the higher your risk of getting and dying from almost any infectious disease. The higher your blood sugar runs, the faster your brain shrinks, the faster your muscles or your joints break down, and the higher risk you are from infectious processes. And we would presume that would include our current viral epidemic. You want to build your anabolic endocrine system, your anabolic hormone load, because you want to be able to grow muscle. Muscle produces over 100 different compounds we refer to as myokines. Working muscle is anti-inflammatory, but it boosts your immune response. The immune system is an important part of protecting us against cancers and infections.
Wow.
And people who engage in regular moderate exercise are healthier people all the way around. They have less dementia, less heart disease, less arthritis, but equally important, they are more resistant to virtually every infectious process around. Sedentary living is the new smoking.
It really is.
And right now, we have enforced sedentary living.
You're right.
You know, the, The government is saying, stay home, don't go anywhere, don't do anything. The gyms are all closed. They don't want you outside. Well, guess what? Sitting on the couch and snacking is a great way to lower your immune response and get yourself ready to get an infection.
That's right. My wife is got in, I think, 14,000 steps yesterday inside the house. Now, I went outside the house, and I got in, I think, 12 or 13,000 steps, pretty fast-moving steps. But there's still things we can do and should do.
Well, you know, we walked out of our laundry room into the garage, got in the car, pushed the button, raised the door, drove up to the farmland outside of Mount Vernon, where there were no other human beings.
Yeah.
Because of the snow geese.
Why would there be no human beings?
There were just no other people up there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so we were social distancing by, it looked like a mile or two instead of 10 feet. Yeah. But had a great time and, you know, running around and enjoying ourselves. And so.
But staying active. But the bottom line is, don't have the fatalistic attitude that what will be, will be.
No, you can alter it. That you can alter your risks. And, you know, the goal in life is you move the odds in your favor as far as you reasonably can. Then you relax and play the game. And sometimes you'll lose, but you'll win more often if the odds are in your favor. And the way to get the odds in your favor is to change your diet, to change your exercise, and to let us at Longevity help you enhance your endocrine support, decrease your inflammation, and give you some guidance in the other things you need to do to boost your health and fitness and immune response.
Talk about never being a better time to do that.
Time would have been, you know, a year ago,
2 years ago.
You'd be in whipcord lean shape today.
That's right. And for some of you, many of you, I would imagine, who have been listening to this show off and on or maybe every Saturday, and you have been meaning to make a free health analysis appointment. Folks, if today's situation isn't enough motivation for you to at least take that first step of a free health analysis appointment, I don't know what will ever motivate you. So we encourage you to do that. And I'm glad you brought this up, Jerry, because I guess it's pretty obvious that Longevity is alive and well. I mean, we are open. We are not under the mandates. We don't do surgery and stuff like that.
We had to close Bella Medica.
That's right, our aesthetic division.
Right. But, you know, the clinics are still open, and we still, you know, we are doing our blood draws and so on at the moment. Now, eventually, they may make us shut that down. Who knows what orders will come from the governor tomorrow or next week. But we are doing the blood draws. We are doing more and more work by telemedicine so that people don't have to come into the office any more than absolutely necessary.
And by the way, we've been doing that for 20 years.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of snowbirds, people who travel, stuff like that.
Sure. But now more and more of our day-to-day people, even though they may be only 3 miles down the road, we can do them by telemedicine once we've got their blood draw.
That's right.
We do need to have the results of the tests.
But let me just ease your mind, folks. You're out there saying, well, I'm nervous about leaving the house or going to Longevity. You really don't have much to be concerned about because, first of all, in all three of our clinics, we have three, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. Before you even come in the door, we stop you and ask you several qualifying questions, obviously. We take your temperature. We do this for staff every day. Our staff can't even enter the office unless we ask those questions and we take their temperature. So we're very careful there. Our medical assistants who take the blood, and, you know, every 3 or 4 months at Longevity, we take your blood. Because if you don't measure, you don't know. You've heard that before. And so we're being very careful. And, in fact, this last week, I think we took on 14 new patients. I'm not sure which clinic that was. Bottom line is we're open, we're doing business, and we're being very, very careful. that in mind. Oh, I don't want to forget that we're also making available when you pick up the free health analysis appointments. And again, we have about 15 in Tacoma, about 15 in Linwood, and 18, I think, in Kirkland. When you do that, you get the two free tests, and we're making available $100 worth of free longevity supplements and two free masks. Oh, my goodness. Lots of reasons to consider making one of those appointments, and we hope you do it. It's simple to do. All you do is go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. And with that, let's go to our first break. Oh, and let me give you the number. I need to give you the number, 1-888-312-5757, 1-888-312-5757. All the lines are open right now. So if you call right now, probably even when we come back from this break, you'll be first. 1-888-312-5757.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how you age. Call with your question at 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757.
Hi, longevity friends. I learn something from you every week. I'm so glad you're on the radio.
Well, now it takes more than a robin.
Brooke Benton, man, I just think he's the hottest. He's been around a long time. Welcome back, everyone. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Maybe this is your first time. You're just driving down the road or tuned in at home, and what the heck is going on? Well, Longevity Medical Clinic has had this program on KVI now for, since 1999, 21 years.
Yep.
Oh, man, remember those first shows?
I do.
That was fun. It didn't take long, I must confess, for me to convince you to get on your own show, you know, to do your own show.
No. And my only fear was, how do I pay for it?
Well, that's a good fear to have. But it worked out, I'd say. We now do 4 hours of live radio every Saturday, two here on 570 KVI from 10 to noon, and two on another station in town earlier from 8 to 10. So 4 hours, bing, bing, bang, bong. And we love it. And our customers, our patients, tend to obviously listen, but tens of thousands of others as well. Glad you've tuned in. Should we take some calls?
Let's do it.
Okay, good. We got off to a late start today. It was some technical problems. We apologize for that, but we're here, we're live, and raring to go. So let's go to Bothell and talk with Betsy. Hello, Betsy. Welcome.
Hello, Betsy.
I would like to know, since the doctor is on the leading edge, if there's anything new in sleep. Because I have not been able to sleep for over 20 years, and every intervention I have tried of any sort does not work. And it's really bad for your health not to sleep. It screws up your life. And I need to get this fixed.
All right. Well,
and otherwise, I will tell you, otherwise, I'm in perfect health. I take no pharmaceuticals. I have no diseases. I'm skinny as a rail. I eat organic. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't use any kind of drugs. I don't drink tap water.
Okay. Gee, what do you do for fun?
I like to do real high altitude backpacking.
Good for you.
Well, way to go.
All right. Here is my initial thought. I mean, if you tried a lot of stuff...
I've tried every pharmaceutical, every over-the-counter, every supplement, I was sent to Virginia Mason years ago to go to their sleep clinic. They couldn't find anything. This is insane.
Okay. So you don't have sleep apnea, because that's really what they would look for in their sleep clinic.
Yeah, and they didn't find it.
Yeah, which doesn't surprise me since you're lean. It's mostly overweight people that develop significant sleep apnea. Yeah, a couple of things I would be interested in trying that I suspect you have not tried. And one
I'd like to hear about.
I'd like to measure your serum pregnenolone and progesterone levels. You know, progesterone levels drop out faster than estrogen. By age 50, when women go through menopause, most of them, estrogen is down about 50%. Progesterone is down about 75% by then.
And, right, let me give you a heads up right there.
Okay.
In December, I started on the bioidentical hormones, which included progesterone and the two esters, the two, they call it bias, two different estrogens, and the DHEA. And then that was December, January, February. In March, I added testosterone. So I am getting the progesterone. I don't know what the level is.
Yeah, well, the levels are important. DHEA tends to be an elevating drug. It tends to make you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So DHEA should only be used in the morning, and that's when we use the testosterone.
Yeah, that's morning. Everything I take is morning except there's two progesterone ones.
Well,
one is a cream, and there's also a pill.
Okay.
And you take the pill at night, and the other progesterone is in the daytime.
Okay. Yeah, progesterone and pregnenolone are the two things that I would use in the evenings. Pregnenolone values and progesterone are both kind of sedating. They tend to damp things down, make you relax, make you mellow, and let you rest. So what you're going to want to do with your doctor is to work on both pregnenolone and progesterone levels at night and see where those levels are. You want to not just have little tiny touches. You want to get a high enough level in the evening that you're really getting a little drowsy and somnolent.
Do you think that level is? Currently, I do like whatever it is, 1 milligram or something of cream, and then I take one pill.
Well, see, it depends on how much is in your blood and how you absorb and how you process it. So I know people that take relatively small doses and get high blood levels, and people who take big doses and have modest blood levels. So really, if you don't measure, you don't know.
And, right. So what kind of level should I be seeing if I get it tested?
Well, I'm looking for progesterone levels in an older woman in the evening, probably up around 15 or 20 anyway.
15 to 20, what
picograms per deciliter,
What kind of grams?
15 to 20 picograms per deciliter.
Oh, picograms, okay.
Yeah.
Picograms.
Per deciliter. And the other thing is behavioral sleep hygiene. You know, our ancestors, we were designed in the wild, if you will, we are daytime hunters. We are designed to be awake in the day. And as the sun is going down, there's a shift to red light. As the sun starts sinking towards the horizon, you see the sun turns to turn kind of orange and finally red as it's sinking below the horizon.
That
orange-red light actually triggers our brains that it's time to start settling down and get ready for sleep. And one of the problems we've got in the modern world is we put on this bright, white, hot light, and we keep things bright and light right up until we want to go to bed. And then we flip a switch, it gets dark, and we expect our bodies to respond. They don't. What you want to do is to start taking dim light in the evenings. If you've got incandescent lights, put them on a rheostat, on a dimmer switch, and dim them down, so that it's not as bright and so the light is orange. candlelight, firelight, things that provide orange-red light actually change the way our brain functions. The evening should not be a time for stimulation and the news. The evening should be a time for soft music, for poetry, for quiet conversations with friends, so that we are basically damping ourselves down and getting us ready to sleep.
So, well, I'm probably pretty good on that in that I don't own any kind of screen. There's no smartphone, there's no internet, there's no television, there's no video games, nothing.
Good for you. All right. So you're moving in the right direction there. I'd just say make sure you dim your lights, but work with your doctor to make sure that your pregnenolone and progesterone levels are high enough.
I've got to ask you about what level the pregnenolone should be.
Pregnenolone at least 50 to 100 sort of range is what I'm looking for. Okay. So, yeah, so 50 to 100 on the pregnenolone, 15 to 20 on the progesterone, and see if that helps damp things down in the evening.
I will try it. I will try it. It wouldn't kill me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's worth a try. I mean, obviously...
Yeah. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, is the old saying.
Precise. Well, and no doctor in his right mind ever guarantees anything other than their best efforts. You know, human beings are far too variable and unpredictable for us to guarantee more than our best effort. But
we don't want to all be alike, or we'd all be bored fairly well.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well, you give these a try. Chat with your doc. See what you can do. Okay.
Thank you so much. You have a
You're
wonderful
welcome,
day.
Ma'am. Take care, dear. Bye.
Thanks, Betsy. Good call. And sleep is the new smoking. I have been hearing more.
I think
and more.
Sedentary is the new smoking.
Well, that's true too.
Sedentary lifestyle is horrible.
That's right.
Really bad for you.
But I've been hearing more and more, reading more and more about the importance of sleep.
Yeah. Poor sleep shifts your metabolism.
Yeah.
In a lot of destructive ways, increases the risk of getting fat, osteoporosis, cognitive decline. Yeah, it is important to sleep well at night.
Excellent point. Let's go to a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk with Jennifer in Bellevue. She's got a question about lungs. Not sure where that is going to head.
Everybody should have two.
Everybody should. And then we'll go to Kent and talk to Charlotte, who is asking about vaccinations for babies. Well, we haven't had that question for a few months, so time to answer it again. Lots of controversy in that area. All right. So if you've got a question, we've got a couple of lines open. You can call us. Get in line. When you get in line, you don't listen to the radio anymore because there's a 7-second delay. So when you get in line, the call screener, Aaron, today will put you on hold, and you'll be able to hear the show as it goes out over the air. Call us with your question at 1-888-312-5757.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm wondering why.
Here we
go. Let's think about living. Let's think about loving.
I like the loving part.
About the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. 34 minutes past the hour. I'm Pete Talbot, and I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with me in the studio today. We're going to get Dr. Samira Umat back here just real quickly. Won't be long at all. Maybe next week or the week after. I'm not sure what the schedule is. But in the meantime, you just heard an ad for Dr. Dan Nelson with Conquering Your Pain and with Pro Ortho. He does the stem cell work. He does pain. Basically, he is a pain specialist at Pro Ortho and a regular guest on our show. Now, he has a webinar this afternoon. So if you are struggling with pain, what made me think of this, we were talking about sleep and the importance of sleep. Wow. if you're in pain,
it's hard to sleep.
It's hard to sleep.
Absolutely.
And that's why I went to Dan Nelson, and he fixed my low back problem with stem cell therapy. Mm-hmm. Not that stem cell therapy is the answer for all pain issues, but for me, it happened to be it was. Well, he's got a webinar this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And so if you're struggling with, you know, back pain, knee, ankle, shoulder, hip, what have you, any kind of aches and pains that are keeping you from sleeping or walking or exercising or just flat out being comfortable, you ought to check out the webinar. And it's easy to do. You go to conqueringyourpain.com and there will be a link. And at 3 o'clock, so 1 or 2 minutes before 3 o'clock today, just go to conqueringyourpain.com, click on the link, and enjoy the program. It'll be very, very informative. You're struggling with pain? You have a friend? Call them. Conqueringyourpain.com, and there'll be a link there at 3 o'clock today. You possibly the smartest thing you've done in a long time. All right. Let's go to Bellevue and talk with Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hello. What can we do for you?
So my question, and thank you, I love listening to your show, so thank you.
You're welcome.
So I have, I'd say, moderate to severe asthma, and my mom has interstitial lung disease. She's 81. She has, she's on oxygen 24/7. She's got quite a bit of scar tissue in her lungs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering, is there anything that you can recommend to strengthen the lungs or to try to, you know, just make them stronger and healthier? And I, you know, mine's a little different with, I had just have asthma and she's got the scar tissue. So, I don't know if you'd recommend different things.
Well, you know, two very, very different processes. I mean, pulmonary fibrosis, right, where you're laying down fibrin and scar tissue in your lungs tends to be a progressive and eventually fatal condition. So we don't really have good therapies for that. You know, the last study I saw on that was a senescent cell therapy in which they gave a group, I think it was a dozen older people with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, 9 days worth of therapy, 3 days per week for 3 weeks of dasatinib and quercetin. And it did not fix their pulmonary fibrosis. It did improve their level of function. It allowed them, their heart and their muscles and so on, improved to the point that they were able to get up and do more, even though their lung parameters did not change in that brief period of therapy. Now, what would have happened had they been treated monthly for a year, we don't know. But in only 9 days of therapy over a three-week period, they improved their level of function, but they did not improve their pulmonary status. Okay. So, you know, that's kind of a mixed bag. The patient did better, but the lungs, when we measure them, it wasn't improvement in lung function. On the other hand, that's a very short period of therapy. You know, what would have happened had they gotten that therapy weekly or monthly for a longer period of time, they may well have developed some resolution in their lung function, but we don't really know. Hmm. But that's the only thing. Go ahead.
Oh, I just was wondering, what were the medications in that study?
Dasatinib and quercetin. They gave them 100 milligrams of dasatinib per day for 3 days each week for 3 weeks. So 3 days on, four off, three on, four off, three on, and they were done. And 1,000 milligrams of quercetin each day that they took the dasatinib. That is really a therapy that is aimed at destroying senescent cells, which have a lot to do with the formation of new fibrin and fibrous connective tissues. And so the theory was that if you could knock out the senescent cells, you might see an improvement in the in the lung function. But the study was awfully short. But what did happen was their muscles got stronger, their heart function improved, they were able to get up and get around and accomplish more in the day, so their exercise tolerance improved, even though measurements of the lung function did not improve. So, you know, that's that's an interesting, you know, short-term study. I was interested in it because since we treat the aging process, in the animal studies, this regimen has extended the lifespan of experimental animals up to 36% and dramatically improved their cognition, their cardiovascular function, their bone density, and so on. So the animal studies for this therapy are very, very interesting, and it's the sort of thing that I'm quite interested in applying to our older patient population, more as a nostrum for aging as opposed to something like pulmonary fibrosis. That same therapy, by the way, is currently being looked at in diabetic kidney disease, and it does seem to improve inflammatory and renal markers. There are studies currently at Mayo Clinic using the same drug combination for cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease. So a lot of doctors around the world are very interested in this sort of therapy for a wide variety of degenerative conditions.
Interesting.
Yeah. On the other hand, I have no data whatsoever that it might help your asthma.
Is there something you recommend to kind of keep my lungs, trying to get them as healthy as I can? I mean, when I get in a respiratory illness, it's really, you know, it affects me, of course, a lot. And it was interesting. I heard you talking about vitamin D this morning, you know, that you like to see the levels between 60 and 90. And I take 10,000 milligrams a day prescription, and I'm still only in the mid-30s. I just had it tested. So that's interesting that
you'd
like to see that.
You're taking 10,000 units. It's not measured in milligrams. All right, yes.
Okay.
And 10,000 a day is a pretty hefty dose, but up here in the Pacific Northwest, that's not unusual.
I'm 7,000 a day.
Yeah, and I'm 5,000.
They had me do 20,000 at first to get it up, and then is maintenance.
Yeah, so you apparently have a poor metabolism of vitamin D. And so the question is, what else could we do to you to improve your metabolic efficiency? That involves a whole different, more aggressive approach than just treating your vitamin D. You are not, by chance, a patient at Longevity, are you?
I'm not right now. I'd love to go. But yeah, check it out.
Because
I feel like the vitamin D has really helped me to not pick up respiratory infections. I mean, I've seen like a real difference since I've started to take it in the last few years of not getting so sick in the wintertime. But I just thought, you know, just wondering what else can maybe help.
Well, of interest,
proactive?
Pete and I are both old asthmatics from our youth.
Yeah.
I had childhood asthma and exercise-induced asthma, cold air-induced asthma. Pete had
same sort of thing
when he was a kid. We have both been susceptible to viral bronchitis, and we have both started using a program that involves immune factor E, which is basically a potent echinacea, berberine, resveratrol, and a mixture of bioflavonoids and with C. That we take, he takes it every day to help prevent his infections.
Every day, morning and night.
And tells me that he has not had a bronchitis infection for a couple of years. I don't take it prophylactically, but whenever I start to get a viral illness, I take it and it clears very quickly and doesn't give me all the pulmonary issues. So
the bioflavonoid?
Well, again, it's a mixture. These are all supplements that we make for our patients, but it is immune factor E, high-dose resveratrol, berberine, and the bioflavonoids. So we take all four of those Pete takes it every day, and I just take it when I get sick.
And with that, Jennifer, we got to go, but good luck to you. Thank you. Excellent call. Excellent call. Hey, about an hour ago, we got a question, a text actually came in. It says, I'm 52 years old, and this week my eyes are becoming increasingly red, itchy, and teary. How can I tell if this is coronavirus? And with that in mind, you've seen me over here.
Sounds like an environmental allergy to me, but
well,
whatever.
You don't know. And so I've been texting Dr. Michael Gilbert. And I've got him almost assuredly, he just agreed about just a moment ago, to call in at 11 o'clock. So stay tuned for that in about 10, 12, 13 minutes. In the meantime, we'll be right back. When we come back, we'll talk with Charlotte about vaccinations for babies and all kinds of good questions coming up. Don't go far.
I've been a longevity patient for about 17 years. And I can remember back in the day, I listened many, many, many times before I took the plunge. Because at first I went from skeptical to, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only you and you alone can thrill me like you do and fill my heart with love, for only you.
Sing it, Jerry.
No, you don't want me singing. I can't sing with a hoot.
I'm kidding.
I've got a three-note range. Whenever that note, one of those three notes comes by, I sing it with gusto.
That's right.
For the rest of the range, it's awful.
Hey, welcome back. And if you just tuned in, we do get serious quite regularly here on the show.
For seconds at a time.
For minutes even at a time. Again, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert coming at the top of the hour to ask that answer that question that came in a moment ago. And so for right now, though, let's go to Kent and talk with Charlotte. Hey, Charlotte, welcome.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hi. So our friends are going to have a baby in June, and they are having a major disagreement about vaccinating the baby. The husband thinks that there are... mercury, aluminum, and aborted baby fetuses in the vaccinations, and he's completely against them. And the wife is more traditional and would like to vaccinate the baby, so I just wanted to get your opinion on it because I highly respect your balanced opinion on things.
If I believed what he believed, I'd be opposed to it too, but I don't.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Okay, mercury... Thimerosal was a preservative to kill bacteria that was put in multi-dose vials for many years because, you know, the doctor would draw out some of the vaccine out of a vial and shoot one kid, and then the next kid would come along, he'd draw some more out and shoot the next kid, using a different syringe each time. But every time you put a needle into the vial, there's a small risk of introducing bacteria. So they use the thimerosal, the mercury, as a preservative to keep everything sterile. They took that out years ago. All we use now are single-dose vials. I don't think anybody has made a multi-dose vial for the vaccines in America in 10 years or more. So there may be some places in the world where they still do that as a cost-saving measure, but not in this country. And as for the aluminum and the aborted babies, no, they're not there at all. I can promise you that. Yes, it is true that Planned Parenthood sells organs from babies for research purposes, you know, for people that are studying hearts and kidneys and brains and eyes and stuff. They do get aborted tissues from Planned Parenthood. They buy it and they use it in the research labs. But that's on Planned Parenthood. But no vaccine company is using it to make their vaccines. That's simply anti-vaccination
hype
propaganda, basically. Okay, it's not true. I have an 8-year-old. She just turned 8 last Sunday, so she's been 8 for 7 days now, and she's had all her vaccinations from birth on.
From the day she was born?
From the day she was born. I've given her everything on the current schedule, and she has blossomed and done wonderfully. So all I can tell you is what I would do for my own child and have done for my own child.
The only thing I'll say to that is that we have been friends over the years with a number of people who have had autistic children. Probably one of my closest friends now, or at least a very close friend. Within 24 hours of vaccinations of their 18 month old, I think, their child became very serious.
But 2 to 5 years old is when most kids start the regression if they're autistic.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a regression. It was kind of like an overnight kind of a response to the vaccination.
And no, it was a response that followed. We don't know that it was from. There's a difference in correlation and causation.
Okay.
You know, we've been through that with the ice cream and the shark attacks.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a clear correlation between ice cream sales and shark attacks in coastal communities. But it's not that buying ice cream makes a shark more likely to attack you. It's that ice cream sales increase with warm weather, and warm weather is when people go in the water with the sharks.
Right.
Okay? Correlation is not causation.
So don't worry about eating ice cream.
That's right. But when they've looked at large samples, not one child, but they've looked at tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of children, the correlation doesn't hold up. Okay? There are a lot of things that do increase the risk of autism, but vaccination does not appear to be one of them. There was a doctor in England who promoted that widely in a book and tried to make a lot of money off it. But other people that have investigated have simply not found it to be true.
I have two boys who held off on their children's vaccinations until age 2. Yeah. And then introduced them gradually, not in a big lump.
And I don't object to that as long as you keep the kid healthy in the meantime. I had looked at the data and I said, no, for my daughter, I do not see the connection. And so I want her protected early. If you want to protect the kid till they're 2 in other ways and then get them vaccinated, it's okay, I guess.
I actually watched a video just this week on a wild-eyed fanatic doctor swearing up and down that the vaccinations have taken autism from 1 in 5,000 down to 1 in 34.
Autism is far more common. And it is, but we know several other things that do it.
That's right. Okay. Plus, they've broadened their definition of what autism is.
But also, the heavier the mother, the fatter the mother, the higher the risk of autism.
Interesting.
There is a clear correlation. And guess what? Young women getting pregnant today are far fatter than they were in the 1950s.
Ice cream and sharks. Here we go.
What we are finding is that high blood sugars, insulin resistance, body mass, all increase the incidence of autism.
Wow.
So in kids or in the parents?
No, in the child. Yeah. No.
So
pregnant women should be lean and fit. And when fat ladies get pregnant, they're putting the child at increased risk of premature delivery and autism, as well as a fair number of birth defects. So fat is a killer.
Okay.
So there you go, Charlotte.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Take care, dear.
Thank you. Well, let me think. Do we have enough time? Yes. Let's try a quick call to Rich in Chehalis. Rich, welcome to the show.
Hello, Rich.
Oh, Oh, thank you. I had a question about insulin resistance. By the way, my vitamin D levels are 96. I take 10,000
milligrams
a day. But I also take vitamin K2 and K7.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the point. I had a question on insulin resistance, and I know that that diabetes is not a problem with blood sugar. It's more of a problem with insulin resistance.
Yep.
And that I was wondering if those receptors can be resensitized, or do you have to build new receptors via exercise? Does exercise help resensitize them? Does a low-carbohydrate diet resensitize them? I just wonder, do they down-regulate because you don't eat as many carbs, and then if you hit a carb, your body says, hey, that's too much, and then all of a sudden you have high blood sugar again?
All of the above. What we're finding, for instance, anabolic hormone load, that is high testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, growth hormone, all increase sensitivity and tend to improve carbohydrate metabolism. Increased muscle mass increases carbohydrate metabolism and makes you more sensitive. Losing body fat does the same thing. A starvation diet, there is an Italian group that basically put people on 600-calorie diets for 3 months and found that it doubled the capacity of the pancreas to produce insulin and increase the recovery of beta cells in the pancreas.
Well, my idea would be the lowest amount of insulin and the lowest amount of blood glucose when measured.
Yes.
Now, you say that you want to see a blood glucose of below of 85 or below, and when you wake up, mine doesn't even come close to that. Mine's like, you know, in the low 100s, and it's probably been that way for a long time. So I'm just wondering, if you have a patient like that, do you put them on medication, or what do you do?
Well, hang on.
Okay, we're going to... okay, we'll hold you over.
We have Dr. Gilbert.
Have Dr. Gilbert.
Then I want to come back to him.
It'll be a while. No.
Okay,
Rich,
Rich,
you hang on. Hold on. We're going to put you on hold, and we will take you first right after the break, because we'll just take another minute or two with you. And then we will have Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute on for a quick little chat answering a question that just came in. So don't go far. Hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine is right around the corner. It's like 2 minutes from now. Little news, and we'll be right back.